All right. Well, welcome to the call, everybody. Those of you who are here live and those of you who might be hearing the tape later, this is Pat Williams, the founder of ILCT, and with Lori Moss, one of our longtime faculty, and going to discuss some very specific things today about her unique approach to somatic coaching, body-mind coaching. And I've had the pleasure of knowing Lori for quite a few years. She's another fully recovered therapist who got into coaching and has interesting stories about that, of course. We just shared some of that via text a few minutes ago. Everybody's got a story of what took them into the field, what took them out of the field, or what got you to coaching. But Lori has been teaching with the Institute and really teaches a unique class on somatic coaching. There's an advanced beginning class and an advanced class. She'll talk a little bit about that today and what's coming up. But just want to have a chance to kind of get the inside scoop of how you got into this, Lori. How did you pick specifically? I mean, I know you did some of the somatic work in therapy as well, and then applied it to coaching. So say a little about how you followed that path. How you got going?
Okie doke. Well, thank you. I'm really glad to be here, hear your voice, Pat. You know, it's been a long time since I've seen you
yes.
in person, so I'm going to give you a big hug.
Well, thank you. Virtual hugs are always good.
Okay. So somatic coaching, it's such a big area now of interest for coaches. Of course, it started back in the 60s when different therapists when people who weren't therapists started introducing somatic work into the human potential movement, and that had to do with Rolfing, and it had to do with bioenergetics and Reikian work and Gestalt therapy, and so everything started merged together. So this whole movement started in the 70s, and it's actually called the somatics movement. I didn't really know that until I started thinking about what I was going to say about it. So I went to Berkeley, California in 1970, and as a result of being exposed to bioenergetics, I got very interested in it and started training in the modalities that were applicable to therapists. So that was bioenergetics, Reikian therapy, and other movement and body psychotherapy. So I got hired to teach about all this at Antioch University in San Francisco, which had the first course I ever offered on body psychotherapy taught by me. So it all began by me moving to Berkeley, and I told Pat why I moved to Berkeley, which is probably not the topic of this call, but just as a little aside, I was at a demonstration in Washington against the 10th state killings at the Lincoln Memorial. It was a peace march and demonstration, and I got there early, and I had the fortune, I guess, of meeting Nixon. And as a result, I became a famous face around the world. My picture of Nixon and me surfaced on movies and newspapers everywhere. And when I went to work the following Monday, the director of my agency said, "What are you going to tell and what are you going to tell the children of the parents you're working with?" And I said, "Well, I guess I quit." And so that... I decided I was going to bring together my politics and therapy, and I moved to Berkeley. And
there
Berkeley,
you go.
And there you go. So I left psychoanalysis and went into body psychotherapy.
Well, now here's a question for you, Mr. Lori. So when that occurred at that moment, where in your body did you feel that sensation?
Well, where I experienced it was deep in my gut. I could not believe I was doing this, that I was leaving the life that I had been born into to create a new life. And that was called that my turning point. The second turning point in my life, and this is so interesting that you know, we started talking about this. You know, I asked Pat, how are we going to integrate the questions that people ask? He says, "Oh, like an NPR interview." I said, "Like the one I was on when they interviewed me about having a face-to-face with Nixon." And so that got us going. So, but the second turning point in my life has to do with coaching, with integrating coaching into my work. Actually, I'm not a recovered psychotherapist. I have a dual practice.
Oh, and, that's right.
And but my sister, who is also on the call today, told me about taking a foundation course with you, Pat. And so I decided to sign up, and I picked you and Diane Menendez. It was actually the last time you taught a foundation course for a very long time. And I learned about coaching from you and experienced it. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to say a word about body psychotherapy. I'm not going to say a word about body psychotherapy. And then I couldn't not say a word about body psychotherapy because I realized that there isn't time in a foundation course to go into how a coach can use body-mind integration to deepen awareness and assist their clients in moving forward. So I asked Pat if I could teach a course at the Institute, and he said, well, create a curriculum. Let me see. He saw it. He says, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And that's how it began.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that history, Lori, we're probably of a similar generation. I mean, I was getting my I was in college, you know, in the late 60s, of course, when all the interesting times were happening. And then I got my degrees in humanistic and transpersonal psychology. So I studied all that, Gestalt, bioenergetics, Rolfing, Feldenkrais method, Alexander technique. I mean, you name it. It was, if we were going to call it a human potential movement, we figured we had to have something to do with movement, right? So so we learned a lot about that. And I dabbled, and you apparently went a lot deeper. And then in the last few years, you know, it kind of brought its way into coaching. You were one of the first people I know of that brought it into coaching with a teaching methodology. And then I know there's other places, too, that kind of focus on that. But I love it. I think if we're going to do whole person coaching, we can't forget to learn some ways that you can include somatics into the equation.
Yeah. And, you know, the foundation and coach approach course do include information about the body and how to work with it minimally, of course.
So that's why
I just wanted to go further it. And but you're right about that. When I first started doing this, I felt like a lone ranger, a female lone ranger out there trying to turn therapists onto why they should learn about body psychotherapy. And now I feel like I've kind of been that way with coaches because most coaches ask this question, well, isn't bringing in the body your agenda? Isn't it your mindset? And actually that was one of the questions that somebody asked. And, you know, I say, no, it is not, because life coaching is whole, is about the whole person, the total person. And, so when you inquire about body-mind awareness or integration related to whatever the person is talking to, you're dealing with all of who the person is in front of you. And that is not my particular agenda. That is the person coming to coaching for.
So, yeah, and you're just asking a powerful question about awareness, and you might ask about the body. Where do you feel it? Where do you sense it? What do you notice? So that is, it's just a coaching question.
Yeah, exactly. And so, by the way, what's really exciting is that all of the core competencies, the International Coaching Federation core competencies, can have a body-mind perspective added to them just by the questions you ask, the focus you add to the inquiry, the focus you add to the conversation. It just widens it. It widens it, it deepens it, expands it. And then a person gets to connect to what's appropriate to them in the moment. You know, I don't expect anything.
Super.
So I guess that's how I got into coaching. So what's another question you want to ask me?
Well, what made you, we're going to talk about the classes specifically, and then we've got some questions that I think will lead you that way. You kind of answered this, what do you feel, you haven't answered this specifically. Let me give you this question from one of our listeners. What do you feel is the most important aspect of mind and body coaching?
Right. Well, what I said is working with the whole person in the present moment without judgment to deepen awareness and forward the action toward their goals. You know, these are the basic tenets of coaching, that we want to deepen awareness and assist our clients in forwarding the action. So when we look at the whole person and we ask, what are you noticing, experiencing, in your body right now as you say this, as you talk about this, as you discuss your goal with me?
Mm-hmm.
When we, you know, in somatics, we say that insight plus inside awareness equals change.
Mm-hmm.
That when you have both, a person has an opportunity to move and change. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. So someone else asked this. They're a wellness and weight management coach. So we know that wellness and health coaching are becoming bigger as a niche. How do you incorporate those methods, or how could he or she incorporate those into their practice?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because people always bring this up, and because there is so much going on about weight management, and especially with people who have healthcare issues related to it and perhaps have weight loss surgery. But one of the things that I notice with people who do that is that it often does not deal with the person's here and now experience of their body at any given point that they're talking to you. So learning how to make body-mind connections assists them to feel more centered and grounded in their body. I actually have an example, because I've worked with people. People come to me for wellness coaching, and one woman had had weight loss surgery. She hated her body, and she told me, most importantly, she hated her belly. And I only found this out when she was talking about something she had to do but was not certain she wanted to do it. So I asked her if she was willing to check in with her body for any body signals. So this was an interesting experience for her, because she really never tuned into her body and looked for any nonverbal information. And I said that if we do this, sometimes we get some confirmation from our body about the rightness of the choice they need to make. So she paused, and I was silent. And it took her a while, and she said she felt some sensation in her belly, and it was gurgling, and then she felt stiffness in her neck, and then I heard her breathing. Then I heard her breathing deepen. Okay, this is an important aspect of body-mind coaching. When you hear something on the phone, a deep breath, a sigh, a breathlessness, a tone change, if you comment on it, the client feels seen and heard in a way that's very important to them, and it deepens their willingness to go and pay attention to such occurrences themselves. So I was silent when I noticed her deep. I asked her what happened to her when she took that deep breath, and she said she put her hand on her belly and left it there. And in the past, it was too big and such a problem. So I was just listening and breathing with her, and then I waited to see where she wanted to lead the conversation. And then, this is that where you said, let's talk about intuitive coaching, and then tears came to my eyes. And I wondered to myself, was she tearing up? So I asked her what she was experiencing right now in her body, and she said tears had begun to lead from her eyes. So she felt both happy and sad, as did I. And so that's the way.
Wow. Yeah, that's great, because somebody had asked how, you know, could you hear a short example of someone being coached using that? You just did. That was a great example. And what I'm hearing for everybody on this call to pay attention to is, as you learn the competency and the confidence of not ignoring the body, it's simply it's one of those things deceptively simple, right? When we say simply, it's deceptively simple. But if you remember to just ask questions about the body or sensing, or where do they notice that, or what happens when, I mean, it's not like you're doing body work. You're simply increasing awareness, which is what coaching's about anyway, for clients to make new choices and new direction. So I think it's something that should not be left out. Given that, there's somebody that asked a question. Do you integrate mind-body coaching with all your clients? And then they follow that up with, how do you introduce it when you didn't start out working with the client in that way?
Yeah, I thought that was a great question. I do use body-mind integration in all my coaching, because I work I work with the whole person and everything they're experiencing. So when someone starts with me, I do introduce it by asking them if they read my website, do they have any questions about the type of coaching that I talked about doing. So I have it in my advertisements. But so and the way that I do it is I just quick, if someone doesn't, but they're hiring me because they were referred to me, I say, you know, I am a wellness life coach, and I work with all aspects of your being. And as a result, I'm very interested in mind-body integration and in assisting my clients in deepening that awareness to make changes in their life. So I use tools like questions that ask you about your body, about checking in and noticing body sensations, experiences. So I do a little bit of teaching in my introduction to myself. After that, it's really easy to bring it up because there are powerful questions. The most powerful question of all, and in the moment after someone has said something, is what do you notice in your body as you just said that? It's quite amazing. I mean, when I just started teaching in the Coach Approach class, and so many, and that's our short foundation course for people who are going toward the board certified coach credential. And everyone was trying to figure out, you know, oh my God, how am I going to figure out the powerful question to ask? How do you do this? How do you do this? I said, okay, try this. Put your feet on the ground, sit back in your chair, take a couple of deep breaths, and listen. Really simply listen. Listen in an embodied way. And I want to define embodied. I found a great definition of it. Listen with your whole person, your body and mind, as your client is talking, and you will know when the time is to ask the question because it will be right there. The client leads, the coach follows. It'll be right there. And asking body-mind questions offer opportunities to get right in there to what's happening in the here and now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've been reemphasizing a lot that coaching is one of those things that it may look simple in terms of we don't diagnose and we don't offer great all this detailed advice. You know, we try to stay in the curious stage with a client, but it all starts with presence. And I'm aware that the presence for both the coach and the client has an integral impact with the somatic. So how you as a coach might be sure you're present and focused and relaxed,
yeah,
and inviting, and then encourage the client to be ready and invitational too. That has a lot to do with the body and, right, de-stressing and being prepared and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally. You know, not that a therapist isn't present with their clients, but well, we're talking now about coaching, and
yeah,
you know, and coaching presence is what we bring to the table or to the phone call, to the face to face, and then, you know, by us being present, we kind of imbue this quality of being because
right,
our questions come from our copious curiosity about what is going on as this person is talking about the topic that they bring to the coaching. So to me, it's so exciting to add this little component that people think it's hard to learn. It's not hard to learn. I bet you some of the people already are picking up tips on what they can do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought of asking that question. Right. Well, here's a couple of questions I think get people. I can tell by these questions, they thought you were going to get off into being technique-y and doing something with the body. So here's a question. How do you bring these tools into coaching sessions without shifting away from coaching into being a consultant or a mentor or an advisor?
Right. Well, I've sort of indirectly answered that question, but I'll be specific. When a person is talking about a goal they have, you know, in coaching we want to assist them in creating action steps and designing a program that's really going to get them to the successes and the gains that they want. So along that path, a person is going to have, for example, They're going to have different choices, different paths they want to take. They may do some brainstorming with you about ideas that they are thinking about along the way, for example, to make a change in a career, that you might talk about different jobs. Or they might talk about moving to a different city. Let's do that one. So the way that you can assist the client in finding out, discovering, like, which city and which job goes with what they want to achieve in life, you can ask them to check in with their body when they're talking about the move to a different city, like their move to Chicago to be with their family. What do you notice in your body when you say that? A person mm-hmm. describes what they're experiencing. And then a move to New York to live in the fast lane and maybe be able to teach, you know, at a university there. A person, if you ask that same question, well, I feel some kind of sensations in my belly. I feel a little wobbly. I feel scared. Where do you experience scared in your body? What does scared mean? And so you're asking what the meaning of words are, where words land in your body, where they come from, and then you keep this discussion going, and then in the end, the client comes up with, well, what stands out for you the most in that brainstorming by connecting with your body? And the person often comes to the place they want to be and the choice, the action they want to take, like applying for a job in a city near their family. This was an example of a client. She decided she did want to be near her family, so she applied for a job there. She also applied for other jobs. She wasn't just going to make one option work. She wanted to leave them open. So does that answer the question?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. And then another question somebody has is, you kind of said this, but they're asking this, how and when do you explain what mind-body coaching is? And I would say, or do you ever? I mean, with a client, uh-huh. do you feel you need to explain it, or do you just do it?
Okay, good. That's a good distinction. I only explain it when someone is hiring me as a body-mind coach. You know, the approach I developed is called Body, Mind, Life Coaching, and some people are referred, probably all my clients are students from ILCT who come to me for mentoring or coaching in the method that they've experienced me doing. So they often know it, so I don't have to say anything about it. Some people ask, what is it? What is it? And so then I tell them. And I also had created a one sheet, which I'd be glad to send to anyone who emails me, that actually explains what is body, mind, life coaching. I'll talk about it today, but if people want it, they can have it. But I sometimes send that one sheet to my clients because often they're wanting to use it with their clients also, with their coaches or therapists. So, but the distinction you made is, do you just wait till it comes up? And, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what I do. You know, mm-hmm. you know, when I started teaching in the Coach Approach course, for example, I didn't talk about body, mind, life coaching. I didn't talk about somatics. However, when I demonstrated a session or I asked a powerful question, I asked a mind-body one. I asked the question to direct the person to other awareness, not just thinking. You know, have you ever done anything without your body? No. everything is done with our body, so the mind and body are one. So if I just direct attention to the body versus to the mind, it's just another aspect of who we are. And then all of a sudden people go, hey, that was really powerful.
Yeah, you know, what I think is inspiring about this, Lori, is I often say coaching is a non-ordinary conversation. I mean, it's not the type of conversation you usually have with your friends at Starbucks, or even if you have a good friend or a good spouse who's a good listener, it's not the same as coaching with a subjective coach. And I think the unique features of a well-trained coach is that you can incorporate this holistic context for coaching. Mm-hmm. For example, given my background in transpersonal psych, I've always been interested in guided imagery and imagination, psychosynthesis sorts of techniques. So you know, I might say to my clients, you know, say, well, there's one thing that I like doing in my practice, if you're game, and if you just close your eyes for a minute, we're going to go on a little guided imagery to see if you gain any insights into your dilemma, or look at pieces of art that I might send them and say, what does that picture tell you about the challenge that's in front of you? So in your sense, it would be, you know, let's not forget, and where do you sense that? What is your body telling you? What are you noticing? All those are powerful questions that don't lead the client, you know, except as we, I mean, we're kind of like, what's that effect, the effect from physics when the experimenter changes the experiment because they're part of it. I mean, you know, we are part of the coaching conversation. So, of course, there's going to be some, I don't want to say surreptitious, but, you know, let's not deny that some of our questions do lead the client to a new way of thinking, but we're not directing them. We're not pushing them. We're not, you know, nudging them. On occasion, we might nudge.
But, well, you know, I like to say we invite.
Invite. That's good.
You know, because it really is an invitation, because the client can do it, they can not do it, or they can go on a whole different path, right?
Yeah, we don't say, here's what you need to do, trust me.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. No, you're absolutely right. I love that idea of sending pictures and asking, you know, as part of a field work or, you know, outside.
Yeah, I've got some systems called Visual Explorer and cards, and I can just send them to visual, so... That brings up another question that I think would be relevant. If you do a lot of your coaching by phone and you can't see the client, what have you found unique about working with the body?
Oh, well, I created it all to be done over the phone. So,
yeah.
Because I do my therapy in office and I do my coaching, except occasionally if someone's local, on the phone. So when I wanted to teach these classes, I had to create a model that could be done completely over the phone. So, what people say, it's impossible. How can you pay attention to the nonverbal if you don't see it? I said, well, in coaching, it's not my job to see it. It's my client's interest to see it if they're willing. You know, so I always say to my client, if you're willing, if this interests you, you know, shut your eyes and do a little body scan of your body to notice where you feel tension. You said you came on the call really tense. You know, if you're willing, let me know what senses. Oh, the other thing I ask a lot about is breath. I haven't even said anything about that.
Right.
I'm like the breathing guru of coaching, I think, because many coaches don't even go, many somatic practices don't even talk about it. They sort of see it as a given. But in fact, most people are not given the opportunity to take a breath, like right now. Right now, if you're willing, just take a moment to just settle into your body and notice any sensations you might be having. Your breath, where your breath is in your body, and what happens as you bring your attention there right now. So you're the only one off mute, Pat. So what did you notice just having that pause to take a breath?
You know, as soon as you, I mean, it's almost like the hypnotic techniques. As soon as you change your voice, I mean, I'm telling you, as soon as you said, I invite you, like, what would it be like if you just focused on your breath? All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, things are slowing down. I sat back and rested my head on a chair and closed my eyes, and I just had this new awareness of how enjoyable it is. I mean, I get so energized when I do these calls, and I feel that in my chest, I guess, mostly. So it was an increasing awareness in just that 30 seconds or something.
Right. So now imagine, you know, imagine we're in a coaching session and you've been talking about a lot of very intense things and there's a pause. And you know, many people might fill that pause up with a question. I like to introduce the pause as an opportunity. You know, I say, you know, I notice there's a pause in our conversation. This is an opportunity to take a breath, to just be in the present moment together. And then let me know where you want to go next. Remember, that's the difference between coaching and therapy. I'm not leading, the client is. So the client knows where to go next. And it's so beautiful when it comes from a pause and a breath and some internal awareness.
That is beautiful. I think that helps the client be, again, in a state of presence, state of, what would be the word, reception. I mean, you're receiving, you're inviting the client to consider some questions, but you're also being of service. I always say coaching is a service industry. So, beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, there's another question. Somebody says, do you notice any trends among professionals who find themselves feeling less healthy and seeking wellness tools as a result of this increased corporate downsizing, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, what are the trends, the kind of clients, the increased awareness that maybe people see that there's, you know, here's the way I look at it, and then you can answer this winded question I've added to, but it's like people spend billions of dollars on alternative health care, be it from vitamins to supplements to yoga to massage, and that's where coaching can fit, in that plethora of choices people have to budget wellness into their lifestyle. So body, mind, lifestyle coaching, where does that fit?
Yeah, interesting. You know, so many professionals, you know, are having a lot of health-related issues as a result of either losing their job or the fear of losing their job. So that's why I thought that was a very interesting question. So they're, you know, and so, and then you're talking, and then so they're seeking wellness tools, you know.
Right.
And so you're talking about the industry, you know, the wellness industry. And so you put those two together, and, you know, there's all kinds of approaches to work with wellness. The way that I work with it and the way I bring the body-mind perspective and body-mind integration into it is that as people feel more stress and fear and confusion and actually get illnesses that enable them to work but actually reduce their level of energy and functioning, if they begin to establish new habits instead of go back to old habits, they start to make grow new neural pathways in their brain. So the brain is, you know, the brain is called this phrase called neuroplasticity is an aspect of the brain that it can constantly change and reform itself. So what we want to do, you know, when somebody is experiencing stress and fear related to job changes, it's very important that they don't return to any old habits they've had that have been unhealthy and establish new ones. It's good for them to understand their stress reactions and like pains in their body and stuff like that. So there's a wonderful acronym that came out of the 12-step process, and it's called HALT. And you know what it stands for?
I don't.
If you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you're going to be drawn to behaviors that you consider unhealthy. And so those are called triggers. So I added my own. when I sort of teach my body, mind, coaching tools for wellness, I added something I call the breath acronym. And it's silly, but it works. So the B stands for being present. The R stands for remembering to breathe. The E stands for energy. Coming forth to allow you to take care in the here and now. So breath is a healer. You know, breath is such an important thing for people to do. You know, yes, with your eyes closed to relax and get into the present moment, and also with your eyes open to energize you and help you kind of like move forward in the world and take the steps that you need to make the changes. So so I think that anyone who wants to enter the wellness field by using a body-mind approach, by using wellness tools, there's a plethora of them out there, but paying attention to breath, paying attention to what's going on in our body, using movement, not just for exercise and not just for competing, but movement to stretch your body, stretch your mind, movement to reach, you know, reach up, reach out, you know, movement to gain access to new parts of yourself and information in the world. And I could go on and on, as you see. I'm on a roll.
Well, yeah, what I love, what I want to encourage our listeners and our ILCT students here is, no matter what courses you've taken or what your path is toward graduation from ILCT and certification, even if you call yourself a professional business coach or leadership coach or whatever, you're still working with the whole person. But I am going to emphasize the fact that in today's world, if you incorporate kind of a wellness perspective, I like to use the term well-being or optimal living. I think the term wellness kind of gets saturated in what it used to mean, like exercise and diet, you know. But if you talk about a client's well-being or optimal living, you can certainly incorporate that into your coaching. And I think now might be a good time for you to talk about the two classes that you teach with ILCT. They're coming up in September, and then an advanced course that starts in October. Let's have you say a little about that. I know the beginning class and body, mind, somatic coaching starts September 10th, goes, I think, six classes because they're 90 minutes each. What do you cover in that class? What do people learn?
Right. Well, in that course, I created that course off of my longer course, taking the most important points that I make in the field, in the process, or whatever you want to call it, the tools and techniques that are in body, mind, life coaching. And so a coach in that course learns about all the different aspects of body, mind, well-being. I agree. I like well-being better also. And that has to do with, that's where I created that breath acronym. And that has to do with learning about presence, coaching presence, learning about breath, learning about what goes on when a person is talking about things, the nonverbal domain of the body, and learning about habit patterns that exist. I talk about stress, and I talk about change patterns, assisting people how to set goals in this course, because so many people just want a quick course. It's actually 7 weeks. The last week is 60 minutes where I just do demo sessions.
Oh, that's okay. Good.
Yeah. But it's a way to just quickly get an introduction and read. There's a 200-page manual I created, so there's a lot of information that students can read about that goes even beyond the class. So I give lots of tools that have to do with mindfulness, asking body-mind questions, practicing, and learning how to change perspectives. Using the body by moving and breathing and allowing awareness to deepen and make body-mind connections inside when we're talking about things. There's something I introduce, which I learned from Gestalt therapy, and I introduce it in both my classes, which is the concept of shuttling. Do you remember that, where you shuttle back and forth internal and external awareness? So I added what you do is that in the present moment, you allow yourself to shuttle back and forth between internal and external awareness, between what's going on in your body, between what you're thinking and what you may be saying. So in any moment in time, you might be aware of some tightness or gurgling in your belly. And then you notice that your phone light is ringing, you got a voicemail. And then you go back to your body. So it's allowing yourself to go back and forth between awareness, here and now awareness, to know that the whole, as a human being, you're going to be distracted, you're going to be thinking, you're going to be having sensations in your body. And life is about learning how to shuttle and jockey between all those places. Mm. And that's how we get where we want to go in life.
Yeah, beautiful reminder. And then you have the advanced class that comes up starting in October. What do you teach in that one? What does that carry on with?
Right. Well, that one, has the underlying principles of that the mind and body are one, as does the other one, and what I do is try to make the coaching core competencies like coaching presence, active listening, powerful questions, and designing actions and setting goals, I try to bring them alive by teaching people how to add the mind-body integration in them. So, people ask, you know, what is body-mind-life coaching? So I define that by giving some central organizing principles. One is the mind and body are one, that the body contains and expresses all our thinking, actions, emotions, and perceptions. We have some background noise here. So the mind and body are one, and then awareness of breath and breathing patterns give valuable information to how you are at any given moment, and that the experience and awareness of physical sensations can confirm the rightness of what is going on or can change your perspective, and that mindfulness of our bodies deepens awareness and helps ground us in our thoughts, choices, and actions. So, you know, those are the central organizing principles. I went through them fast, but the tools that I teach people to use are how to be present, how to pay attention to breath, how to notice the body, and how to notice habit patterns.
Great. And I can tell you all that these courses are highly rated. They fit into your overall learning as a coach, but if you want to get into the wellness specialty, these are two very valuable courses that I think will give you unique perspectives for getting a new kind of clientele. There's one more question I'd like to focus on, and we can begin to wrap up, is a couple people ask, and we kind of touched on it, is if you get clients who maybe they begin to hear about your unique approach or they come to you and somehow they've also got physical stuff going on, like chronic pain or ailments or some sort, and yet you don't want to appear that you're into medical treatment or you know, physical therapy, get off on the wrong foot. But how do you incorporate the directness of a coach approach with people that have chronic pain or ailments?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first I inquire about what has worked for them in the past or what has been suggested for them now.
Mm-hmm.
So often clients have they've learned a lot of tools and skills, and they aren't using them. So I don't assume that they don't know things. I just, I'm curious what they do know. So let's say that they tried meditating, but it didn't work. Or they, you know, try an exercise program and they let it go. Or they, you know, have tried, you know, different things suggested by their practitioners. You know, my job is not to direct. My job is to encourage them to keep exploring the options that interest them, and to search for other ones. So, but while we're talking, you know, I'm curious about what is going on in their body right now. Like sometimes what I do in the tools class, the body-mind coaching tools for wellness, is that I do these little mini coaching sessions. And I ask someone just to come on the line and be in the present moment with me. And then I track what's going on, and they track what's going on in their body by me just asking them the question, what are you aware of now? What are you experiencing in your body? What do you notice anywhere else? And sometimes people say, well, I have tension in my neck, and it's driving me crazy. I didn't know my neck was hurting me so much, though I have been tense all day. And so I don't go into talking about that tension or fixing it or telling them what to do. I say, okay, so with that tension in your neck, take a few more breaths if you're willing. And so as they keep taking breaths and staying in that space, these are 5 and 10 minute sessions, pain shifts, pain changes. Does it go away? Sometimes we'll come back, of course, if there's an injury. But people start to see, wow, you know, I often limit my aliveness in my body by holding, by not breathing, by tightening against my pain. So insight can be developed along the way. Also new things, because sometimes people start to investigate things about body-mind awareness, and they hear about meditation, they hear about movement therapy, they hear about things outside the box besides physical therapy. So does that answer
it? Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's like you're not you meet your clients where they are, and people come with all sorts of stuff, whether even coaching clients might have emotional challenges does not mean they need to go to a therapist. It's just, you know, we're a whole person. Now, we teach in our courses, of course, if somebody's not ready to be coached, if they're stuck in some angst or they're stuck in some life challenge, and maybe they need to go get therapy or spiritual counseling or work with somebody and then come to coaching later, or do both at the same time.
Yeah.
So let's take a chance.
I'd just like to add one thing about that. Some people say, well, when you do breathing, it often brings up memories and trauma, because that was from the old work with Reiki and therapy, which was completely focused on breathing. And I say, my answer to that is, in fact, you know, if that does happen and people have memories of a trauma, one, I want to inquire about what have they used in the past to assist them in dealing with their emotions at this moment, you know, when they come up. And often they have tools, they just aren't using them.
Right.
And isn't that what we do in coaching, is kind of, you know, nudge, remind, you know, encourage our clients to use what they know? Because we all are experts about our life and our body. We just need to be reminded that we have all that inside of us.
Yeah, if we truly believe that, you know, that our guideposts, our clients are whole, capable, and resourceful, then believe that while you're working with them. It's like with emotions. If clients come up and they start getting tearful or something, I actually celebrate that. I said, you know, emotions just stands for energy in motion, emotion.
Yep.
So if you just normalize it, which is what I try to do, it's like, okay, so what's that telling you? Or what's your body telling you? Or what are your emotions telling you? It reminds me of something from a psychosynthesis that I'm trained in, Roberto Lacigioli's work, that there's a disidentification exercise that's paramount to his work. And that is a simple, I think you and I did this actually at the Wellness Institute when we did your workshop together. It is, I have a mind, but I'm not my mind. I have a body, but I am not my body. I have feelings, but I am not my feelings. And so you take people through something like that. This may not be happening in coaching or maybe happening in a workshop, but even with yourself, if you realize that sometimes we identify with parts of ourselves, but we are not that part. You know, that's just an aspect of our humanity. So yeah. I think this is beautiful. I'd like to take a chance. We've got a few minutes left. If Amy, you'll have to tell me if you need to unmute the lines or if people just push *6. If they have a question to ask live, we'll take a chance to do that if there's not too much phone line noise. So if somebody still on the call has a question to ask, please state your name and your question. It might be that they're still muted. I'm not sure.
Hi, this is Maya here.
There you go, Maya. What's your question?
Well, I'd like to ask, Lori, when you're teaching coaches, if you could say a little bit more about how you teach them about the distinction, especially if they've been psychotherapists, between the distinction between psychotherapy and how they treat. You just said a few things, but I wonder if there's more about when you're helping coaches discern the difference.
Sure. Coaching, psychotherapy is an approach that that asks why and looks and analyzes and looks. Even if you're working in the present moment and you're a more existential therapist, you are using the process of uncovering and discovering problems from the past that are contributing to what's going on in your life now. And sometimes people come to you with diagnoses that carry a lot of psychological pain. And on coaching, we tend to work with people often who've had therapy and who are coming to us because now they want to look at where they want to go and what they want to do, and they want to look at places that they dream about that they haven't even explored. So we say that in coaching, we ask what, where, how, when, instead of why. So that's a really big difference besides the kinds of issues that are brought to coaching. We're not afraid of emotions in coaching. We deal with them, like just like Pat talked about, but we deal with them in the present moment as information that a client brings to us. Sometimes, in one of the readings from my class, an author talks about emotions as being invited guests. You think of them as invited guests. What can you learn from them? It's a little bit different than what might happen in therapy, though there might be a therapist that's very avant-garde and uses all kinds of interesting things in her therapy. So it's not to say therapy doesn't work, but coaching is different in that particular, in those particular ways. Pat, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, no, I think that was well said. Really great way to do that. Does anybody else have a question? We've got about 5 more minutes.
I have a question.
This is
Andrea. I'm in Portland, Oregon. And I co-own a fitness studio, and so I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum in that I'm trying to integrate life coaching conversations into a very body-centric environment and trying to bring that mind into the body experience. So do you have any recommendations of how to make that happen or how to even start that process when a client comes here for a very physical experience and yet it's very mind-dominant in getting their results to happen?
Yeah, good point. There are a lot of coaches who are yoga and body body physiologists and physical therapists that take our courses because they are wanting to integrate a conversation into their body practices. And I think that the most important statement that most yoga teachers that I work with make is that it's a new thing to just assist their clients in paying attention to their body in the here and now without doing something, without proving something, without achieving a posture or a pose, but just to allow them a moment to, you know how like, do you add like meditation or some kind of quiet time before?
Mindfulness,
before or after your yoga. Okay. So that's one way. But the conversation about breath that isn't yoga breath is the most amazing thing of all that these yoga teachers say to me.
Yeah, great question. And hey, Andrea, good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, thanks. I thought.
Well, listen, I think we need to wrap up. Lori, and I, this is a fantastic discussion. I think well worth this forum. I hope lots of people got the interest. We had dozens of people sign up for it, and other people, of course, be able to click on it on our website. But check out Lori's classes, and you won't be sorry. They're coming up. First class starts September 10th, I believe it is. No, September 10th or October 22nd. And then the advanced class is October 1st through January 28th. So take a look at those. Yes.
Hello, Pat. Hi, yes. This is Jerry. Can I just add one statement?
Yes, please.
As a graduate of both of Laurie's classes, I just couldn't hang up without saying you will not be disappointed regardless of what aspect of coaching you or therapy you partake in, both personally and professionally. And if there were such a thing as third, fourth, and fifth order change as there is second, you'll experience it. I am still floating, and the manuals themselves will last a lifetime, more than one.
Thank you, Jerry. And that's a great endorsement for what we've all learned. These courses that you know I created back in the dark ages with some of my early faculty and the way they've evolved, all these specialty classes. We change too when we take
the
class. And we change too when we coach our clients. It's a fabulous profession. So thank you for that comment.
Mm-hmm.
Lori, thank you so much for being here today and being the teacher that you are, and I encourage everyone to get on board. So we'll hear you next month for my monthly forum, and we've got some other specialty calls coming up as well. So thank you for joining us.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you
all for coming and listening, and it's been a pleasure talking to you again, Pat.
All right. Ditto. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Bye.